بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله، الحمد لله، نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه، ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلله فلا هادي له. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله. For the last few weeks, we've been dwelling on a subject, the subject of good character. Today we go slightly deeper and we take care of some of the things that were left out from last week's discussion. And inshallah, from the week to come, then each characteristic of a human being will be taken individually and we will discuss the causes for this, the remedy for this, and the different cures that have been mentioned to us through the Quran and Hadith, and the solutions that the ulama have given us. Now, I'm sure that in the last 3 week period we've managed to understand and grasp the fact that there are two words in Arabic which we may have heard used in different majalis or different settings. Number one, it is the word khalq with a fatha, khalq. And the second is the word khuluq. The first word khalq, this is something of the Arabic language that just by changing a vowel from the fatha into the kasra, or from the high sound to the lower sound, you are able to change meanings. And a person who cannot read Arabic, when he is to pick up a book of hadith or tafsir or some other science, and there are no vowels written, ashkal, there are no vowels or ashkal written in the book, then it becomes very difficult sometimes for certain people to ascertain exactly what that word means, because by just changing one vowel from up to down could actually cause a transformation of meaning, sometimes very critical also. So the first word or the first term we have, khalq. Khalq actually means the physical body or self. Like the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would say that Allahumma kama hassanta khalqi fahassin khuluqi. When he would look into the mirror, the dua he would read or the prayer he would make to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that, oh Allah, just as you have made my outer self handsome, just as you have attributed beauty to my outer self and external self, then likewise give me beauty in my inner self. So he uses the first word khalqi for his outer self, khuluqi for the inner self. And it's the inner self that we have been trying to discuss. Now the outer self in comparison to the inner self is more superior, and we've discussed that in quite a bit of detail in the last few weeks. Let's take a verse of the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنِّي خَالِقٌ بَشَرًا مِّن طِينٍ فَإِذَا سَوَّيْتُهُ وَنَفَخْتُ فِيهِ مِن رُوحِي فَقَعُوا لَهُ سَاجِدِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses the angels and says that I have created a being, a body. I have created a being, a body from clay. بَشَرًا مِّن طِينٍ. A body from clay. A form of a human being from clay. فَإِذَا سَوَّيْتُهُ وَنَفَخْتُ فِيهِ مِنْ رُوحِي. After I have perfectly formed it and I blow my spirit into it to bring it to life, then fall prostrate before it. And he ordered the angels to prostrate before the body of Adam alayhi salam after he had blown ruh into it. Now if we notice here that he says bashar min teen, bashar here is the same as khalq. The outer self, the external self, the body, flesh and blood. This he is attributing to the earth, to clay. And he is attributing the ruh, which is khuluq, ruh, the inner self, the life, the inner faculties, the inner dimension, he is attributing to himself. He says, فَإِذَا سَوَّيْتُهُ وَنَفَخْتُ فِيهِ مِنْ رُوحِي. My ruh. So he is giving the attribute to himself. This also tells us the superiority of the ruh over the outer self, according to many of the mufassirin. Now, as we also discussed in somewhat detail, that it is the rectification and reformation of the inner self that will actually in turn reform the outer self. The inner self has to be reformed just like the outer self, for the inner self to be beautiful, to have characteristics of beauty. It has to be all in proportion and it has to be worked on to develop it into that perfect and beautiful self. Unlike the outer self, if somebody has a long nose, or slightly larger ears which are out of proportion, then he may classify himself as ugly. It is kind of difficult to shorten a long nose or to shorten ears, but today with plastic surgery I'm not sure what's happening. The inner self, however, is not so difficult to work with, depending on the person and how far he is to any extreme. So it is not a difficult thing which you will have to pay millions of dollars for. Because even today, if some wealthy person who is kind of dark featured and wants to look white, as Michael Jackson and other people have tried to do, then they have to pay millions of dollars to get this done. But the inner dimension is something else. The inner self is something which will cost you nothing. It will just take some effort, and even the effort that is placed into it will eventually be rewarded in this world as well as the hereafter with great rewards. The worldly reward would be that people would begin to respect this person with good character who has worked on his character to stabilize his inner self. And in the hereafter he will go inshallah into paradise. So there are great benefits, and it is totally inexpensive, it is totally free of any form of charge or any form of cost. Now as we mentioned last week, the inner self, there are three faculties inside which have to be put into proportion to gain the perfect character. Number one, it was the ilm, the knowledge or the intellect, the aql. That a person's intellect and his sense of understanding and his knowledge has to be able to determine between the right and wrong. To gain an understanding as to what is right in the Sharia, what is wrong according to Sharia. He has to gain this perception first. Too much of knowledge will render the person into something which a person who is arrogant and he is self-conceited, he has only opinions of himself, he eventually could even lead to rejection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the wahi, saying that I understand everything through my own intellect and mind. And too less of it would render the person as being stupid, crazy or insane. So this has to be in proportion. Number two, we had the shahwa. The shahwa means the desire in a person to go and achieve that which his aql and his first faculty told him is good or bad to achieve. So when his knowledge tells him that this is good for you, then his shahwa is that which goes and achieves and tries to achieve. Shahwa means desire. Too much of desire will lead to haram, because a person will go and fulfill his desire without any distinction of halal and haram, whether in good or evil venues, whether it will lead him to adultery, promiscuity and so on, or gluttony or eating too much. And if it is too less, it will be to another extreme. There has to be proportion in his shahwa. And number three, it was the anger, the faculty of anger in a person, for him to actually be able to get up and do something that his knowledge and his desire tells him to do. If a person has too less of this faculty, then he will sit down and he will be trodden on. He will be humiliated. His family, his house, his home may be taken advantage of, and he will have no feeling inside of doing anything. As I mentioned last year, that the situation of some of the Muslims of the world, especially the leaders, is of that, of jubn, of cowardice. Unable to do anything, to get up and even demand your own rights. And the opposite of this, which means that too much of anger will actually lead to destruction, arrogance, total oppression and violence. Because this person doesn't see any right and wrong. He's using his faculty of anger too much without any form of halal and haram distinction. Now number four is a faculty called adl, which I left out last week. Because it is the first three, the shahwa, the ghadab and the ilm or aql, which form the basis. Adl is just that, which is the energy that the aql or the ilm tells it to do something, or tells the shahwa and the ghadab to do something, and the adl has it done. So it's basically like the ilm or the knowledge is the instructor or the guide. And the vehicles through which is done or what is done is the shahwa and the ghadab, and what helps it to be done is the adl. So they are all interlinked. When a person gains perfection in all of these, then he has the sublime character. And there is only one person that we know who gained this, and this is as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَىٰ خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ, to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that had all of these four faculties totally in balance. Not too much of anger, and yet not too less of it. Not too much of shahwa, yet not too less of it. Not too much of knowledge that he would disregard what Allah said, and neither too less that he wouldn't be able to lead his people. And then he had the adl to put into action what his knowledge of the good and bad told him to do. So it is only the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that gained the balance in this. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَى خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ, that you are on the sublime character, the most perfect of characters. Now where do we come and where do the Sahaba come? Basically anybody else that is able to gain perfection in as many as possible of these four faculties, then he will be the next person to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And that will actually make him that much closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, having more of his faculties in harmony and in perfection. So this is something we can strive for, to gain proximity and closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the person who is able to balance these faculties out, then he will be accepted in the society, he will be made a leader and respected, and he will be an honored individual in the society. And a person that wrecks all of this character, wrecks all of these principles, and he has none of them in conformance, none of them in moderation, then this person will be suitable to be evicted from the community and totally sent out and not even spoken to. People do not like to speak to people who have excessive anger, who have excessive shahwa, who have excessive desire which is in the wrong aspects, who don't have moderation in the things that they do. Now, the change to come is very easy. As I've explained, that the change to come in this inner dimension is very easy, but it takes a lot of work. According to Imam Ghazali, he has mentioned that there are four types of people, or four categories of people, when it comes to how they would accept the change within themselves. How easy would it be for them to reform and to improve themselves? Number one, he says, is a person who has never dwelled and never pondered over what is good and bad. He is a careless, negligent person that never worries about what is right and wrong and just does as he pleases. But he hasn't made evil or bad deeds something which he likes to do. He just does what his heart tells him to do. Person is an ignorant person. If we are in this category, then this is the most easiest person to gain any form of perfection. Because for him, he is already khaliyul dhihn. He is not strict either way of being good or bad. So for a good guide, or a person to incite him to do good, or for an inner feeling to develop in him which encourages him to do good, he will follow that instinct and he can reform himself in a very short time. Number two is that person who knows what is right, and he knows the harms of sins, and he knows the harms of the wrong things and of evil, but still he becomes habituated and he forms a habit of doing the wrong. He doesn't have a habit of doing the right. He knows what the good is. He knows the harm that comes out of evil, but he still does it because he becomes accustomed to doing it. And regardless of knowing, he still continues to do it. For this person is a double job. There's a double responsibility for him. Number one, he has to purify himself and take out from himself the habit he has for the bad. And then after that, or along with that, to inculcate in himself the habit to do the good and to actually become habituated to do the good. So he has a twofold responsibility. His task is slightly difficult than the first, but he can still gain reform. And inshallah, most of us, if not in any of the categories, then inshallah Allah make us be from the first category or the worst, the second category. And Allah give us the ability to reform ourselves and our character. Number three is that person who has been brought up by seeing evil things around him, by doing things which are not right, by doing the wrong things. And he finds goodness in doing it, he finds pleasure, he feels pleasure in doing the bad. He doesn't like to do the good. So he feels that this is good. To do the bad is good. This person would be very difficult to reform unless Allah wishes and unless Allah wants. Because Allah can turn the heart of anybody regardless of how he may be. But this person, according to Imam Ghazali, is normally very difficult to work with and to gain any form of reform. Number four is the person who is even worse off than the third. Somebody who has actually been brought up and he has been encouraged by his family or society to do the bad and to do the evil. That he has been nurtured on bad character. He hasn't seen any good character. Person has been actually brought up in this way because he lived in such a troubled household, in a corrupt society. And he grows up and he feels
that honor is in doing the bad. Honor is in acting wild. Honor is in doing everything that other people regard as evil. And he reckons that his respect lies in that this is a high status to reach. Now we can just understand how difficult it would be for this person to reform, illa masha'Allah, unless Allah wills. The first person, according to Imam Ghazali, is called a jahil, which means ignorant. He's only ignorant. He hasn't set his mind on anything so he could reform himself. Ignorance has to be removed. The second person, Imam Ghazali calls jahil, dal, ignorant and misguided. Again, that misguidance could be turned into guidance. The third person is jahil, dal, fasiq. He is ignorant, he is misguided, and he is a transgressor. And the third person, according to Imam Ghazali, is jahil, dal, fasiq, and then shariz. He is ignorant, he is misguided, he is transgressor, he transgresses the bounds of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he is shariz, he is evil. His nature now has become that of evil. He has gone greatly into the extreme of evil. Allah save us from the evil categories. Allah save us from the deadening of the soul and the heart. And Allah give us the ability to rectify our hearts, to change our hearts, and to actually make a concerned effort. Not a general effort, but a concerned effort to change ourselves. How do we go about changing ourselves? This is a question that may be asked, that after learning of the evil of bad character and the greatness of sublime and good character, how do we go about rectifying ourselves? Well, the first and foremost thing we have to understand is that to be able to rectify anything, we need to discover and to understand and to recognize what the defect is. Without recognizing the defect within ourselves, there is no possibility of any form of improvement or any form of rectification. This is the most essential thing, for us to understand what our defects are. If we don't understand our defects, we will continue to look at the defects of others. As Imam Ghazali says, that يَرَى أَحَدُهُمْ الْقَضَى فِي عَيْنِ أَخِيهِ وَلَا يَرَى الْجِزْءَ فِي عَيْنِ نَفْسِهِ. That a person, he is able to see a splinter in the eye of his brother, but he is unable to see and he misses the big branch which is sticking in his own eye. He sees the aib and the defects of others, but never worries about himself. So it shouldn't be that policy. This shouldn't be our approach. Our approach must be one of concerned effort to try to rectify ourselves by trying to ponder over ourselves, making muhasabah, making tadabbur over ourselves and our habits and the way we deal with others. Imam Ghazali again here, he gives four ways of rectifying oneself, or four ways that could help and assist in reforming oneself. Number one, to find a spiritual guide, somebody who is knowledgeable, somebody who knows and who has studied deeply the defects, and he has gone through this himself and purified himself to a certain degree. Somebody with righteousness, with piety, somebody with humbleness, somebody with sincerity, with all of these good characteristics all combined together in this one person. If a person is able to find such an individual that combines all of these good character, then to put himself in front of him and say that I want you to point out to me and guide me aright and point out all my defects to me. This person with his sincerity will do that. But it is very difficult to find such people. We can't find them everywhere. You may find one in 1,000, one in 1,000,000. Number two, if a person is not found with all these characteristics that could help us, then number two, look for a sincere friend and ask him to point out defects within ourselves. Now the thing is, this is also very difficult today, because it is very difficult to find a sincere friend that when we ask him to disclose what he sees as defects within us, that he would actually go ahead and disclose them in a totally non-biased manner. And to find somebody that will not just flatter you and say, no, you are perfect. We find a lot of flatterers and hypocrites within our friends, that even if we ask them to point something out, they'll just flatter us. And America is a place where flattery is the vogue. Flattery is something which has to be done with everybody. Otherwise, you don't get your way. The way to get any business, get any service done for you, is by flattering. This is hypocrisy. So it is very difficult. And if we do find somebody, that may eventually say, okay, I will tell you, then the person may become biased and even disclose things which are not in reality defects, but which he for some reason sees as defects. So it is very difficult to find an appropriate person that could actually point out in a non-biased, totally sincere manner as to what the defects are, and then not to disclose these aspects to other people that I had such and such a conversation with this person. We in ourselves, when we ask a fatwa from a shaykh or an imam, we always ask what our rights are. We never worry about asking him that this is a situation that has occurred between myself and this person, myself and my family, myself and my employer, whoever it may be. What are his rights? What do I owe? Always the question is, what are my rights? What should I be owed? And so on. This honest and concerned effort is never made. Number three, to learn about our defects from our enemies. If we have enemies, whether they are enemy in terms of they criticize us, they are jealous of us, whether we have done something wrong or not. In fact, it says in one poem, يُرْمَى الْحَجَرْ عَلَى الشَّجَرْ ذَاتَ الثَّمَرْ, that stones are only thrown on a tree that bears fruits. A barren tree, nobody throws stones to get any fruits off them. So normally when a person is criticized, there's something within that person which this person may be jealous about and may have a hatred for. So to learn from our enemies. Going back to the second one, Umar radiallahu anhu always, always worried about himself as to what his akhirah would be, as to what his last breath would be, as to what situation he would be in the hereafter. He approached Salman al-Farsi radiallahu anhu and he said to him that I want you to tell me what my defects are, whatever you see as defects in me. So Salman al-Farsi radiallahu anhu, first he excused himself, thinking Umar radiallahu anhu, such a very strong person that has jalal over him, I'll excuse myself. But when Umar radiallahu anhu insisted, he said to him that بَلَغَنِي أَنَّكَ جَمَعْتَ بَيْنَ أَدَامَيْنِ عَلَى مَائِدَةٍ وَإِنَّ لَكَ حُلَّتَيْنِ حُلَّةٌ مِّن نَهَارٍ وَحُلَّةٌ بِالْلَيْلِ. I have heard that you have two types of food on your plate. You don't just suffice on one type of food, but you have two types of food from which you choose and eat. And number two, you have two sets of clothing, two suits, one for the daytime and one for the evening. Because in that time with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they would try to suffice with the least. Because the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that a person beyond his basic necessities will be questioned about everything that he has and he possesses, even the roof over his head, if it's beyond his necessity. Immediately, Umar radiallahu anhu didn't give any excuse, but he says, is there anything else? Salman radiallahu anhu said, no. He said, أَمَّا هَذَانْ فَقَدْ كَفَيْتُهُمَا, that as for these two, you don't have to worry about them anymore, I will deal with them immediately. And from that day on, there was only one type of food on his plate, and he remained with one set of clothing. He would also ask Huzaifa radiallahu anhu, who had the secrets of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam about the hypocrites and the munafiqeen. He would constantly go and ask him that, do you see any signs of nifaq and hypocrisy over me that I may be all wonderful in the world but in the hereafter have to go into the bottom level of hell? And Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu would comfort him and would tell him that no, you do not have any aspects of nifaq in you. Now, number four is to actually mingle with the people. And when we notice, and we all notice defects in other people, that is something which is natural, fitrah. When we notice a defect in other people, then we look at ourselves. Any defect that we see in other people, there has to be some portion of it in everybody else. It could be subdued, it could have been eliminated to a great degree, but humans are all alike. And we would also have amounts of that defect in us. So immediately when we see a defect in somebody else, we immediately look at ourselves and we try to rectify ourselves. Somebody asked Isa alayhi salam, Jesus alayhi salam, that man addabak, that who gave you ta'deeb and who gave you this good character? He said that ma addabani ahad, nobody guided me to the right character. Ra'aytu jahl al-jahili shani'an fajtanabtuhu, that I saw the ignorance of an ignorant person as a defect and I kept myself away from ignorance. So basically, these are things we need to ponder over, and inshallah, we can continue on to the benefits and the fadail and the virtues that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has promised for those people who rectify their akhlaq and reform themselves, reform their inner selves, and the benefits that are gained from this. And then we can individually take each one of the good character and the bad character and see how we can work with it and how we can rectify ourselves. وَآخِرُ الدَّعْوَانَ أَنَّ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ